Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I wish I played Crucible Guard. I dream about it. I look at the models in the corner of the room. I wink at them.
Feels like this is the perfect time for you to burst out in like a musical, like dream, a dream.
I believe it's
you
the
wouldn't
want to
hear it.
Dream that no, you're looking for it.
Okay, that one would work too. I think I was thinking of a Les Miserables song, but
it's hard not to.
I plan on hitting every single league night for our Champions League.
Oh, same. Yeah. Which, by the way, is July 3rd our first night?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I will hit all of them.
Five week nights.
Okay, maybe not all five.
unlike
I'm just
my,
trying to be realistic.
I'll be realistic. I'm going to hit all five.
Resolve, it's crumbling. I can probably do an earlier game some of the times if you have issues. But.
Can we do a lunch league game that's 7-minute turn?
Done and done. My brain will melt trying to play Infernals in 7 minutes, but I'll have fun.
Although I am a little disappointed by... Were there changes in the Crucible Guard Champions lineup?
I don't think so.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it was different than the three that it came out with, but that's fine. I can play McKay and Sylvestro.
You can?
Twist my arm.
I'm Jay, and I play Infernals.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like, all in on Infernals?
Well. And obviously, when have I ever not been all in on something, Josh?
No, fair point. I'm Josh, and apparently I just committed to the Champions Night. Also, not related, but related. I need to trade someone a painted Helga for a painted Rask, because mine's missing.
Your painted
My
Rask?
My Rask is like MIA, and I got a sweet Rask. I shouldn't say sweet. I have a Rask list that I personally am excited to bring to the Champions table.
Maybe he got a time machine and head forward 5,000.
And that's why. Oh, wait. I'll hold that little foreshadowing for later. But
I do have a Rask that you can borrow.
Okay. Well, I know that too, but I need to give. So.
That's true, too.
Really, instead of playing them this month, I've done exciting things like hike in the hills near the women's penitentiary in Pocatello. So I got new hiking boots.
Was it more exciting or less exciting because you're near the penitentiary?
I don't know.
I'm evidently buying a bicycle this Saturday.
Oh, a mountain bike or a road bike?
Whatever Brian says.
Well, does I'm he already do triathlons?
He was trained for them when his shoulder got hurt.
Jay and I, we don't reflect on this on the air that often, but there are so many similarities in our marriages. Like,
yep.
I'm not saying that I'm only hiking because my sweetheart wants to hike more, but I wouldn't not say that.
Well, I'm absolutely saying that I'm getting a bike because Brian wants us to go biking.
Oh, done. Man. Okay. Well done. Well, there's some great trails near Pocatello City Creek, just so you know. For mountain biking, if it's mountain biking.
Well, there you go.
I don't actually know what triathletes do. They probably do road biking, like Lance Armstrong
stuff,
right?
I think so. So
is that kosher? Can you say Lance Armstrong?
No, I don't
kind
know another
stuff?
Famous biker. I'm sure there are way better ones now, but he's the only one with a Netflix show.
He has a Netflix show?
There's a show about him that I think covers all of the
documentary of his ascent and
fall. The foo-for-all. I am interested.
I'll find it. I'll
interest peaked.
To say if I'm lying or not.
Josh, have you done your a dink do meme?
Oh, no. What? Let me see this. Isn't there community builders first? I still got time to research.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. I literally had a dream about an Amazing Dank Dune meme the other day, but I forgot to write it down. And so I will... Like, I was... Like, it didn't exist.
You dream in memes now?
Yes. Let me check my dream journal and see if I did write it down. But it doesn't exist, and I was literally going to, like, ask the world to just make it. So anyway, can I do community builders?
Sure. Let's do community builders first. So what... What are we on right now?
We're on being a good online citizen, which includes creating such joyous things as Dank Dune memes, in my opinion.
Obviously.
That's what it would take to be a good online citizen.
Yeah, that's a pretty good online citizen.
Yeah. If you if your nomination contains a Dank Dune meme, bonus points, for sure. So we had some nominations. This is, of course, someone who shows excellent manners, composure, or citizenship in the greater online community. And we had some good nominations, but we're going to go with the nomination from Ben Pohl, who nominated Matthew Bunting. And he said the following about Matthew. He said, dude covers multiple pages and always attempts to balance the rampant negativity on the mayor in Werewolf.
Like, we need badges, basically. How many, like, awards you've won, and basically if you have a...
Whoa. We're not Board Game Geek here, my friend. We do not have that kind of robust IT infrastructure, foundation. I don't know what you call that. But
desire?
We obviously need to add a badge system so that, like, isn't one of the ways that you get badges on Board Game Geek just like
is that point $85? Because I'm just checking.
Yeah, that point is my budget, basically. So anyway, Matthew, we hope you'll enjoy the Dracodile Spirit in good health, and that we expect to see many examples of it being a good citizen online.
So we can talk about the community builders and champions all boiled up in one, but we talked before how we were going to do an announcement, a post about encouraging people to run champions in their local meta. We're going to be doing that ourselves. And people can reply in the post we're going to do about stories that they're having with champions. And as the prize, we're going to be able to print out some... Whoever we pick as the winner, they're going to be able to, we'll direct them to a page that Privateer Press has where they have some of their art that is... kind of print on demand, mm-hmm. and we'll get them a print on demand piece of art to them.
Nice.
So I'm excited to see what success people have with trying out champions.
I am dang prepared.
Excellent.
As long as we're giving audio memes that should be told in a visual format, I also have one.
I'm going to have a great story about this
later.
We're
the ultimate in, like, old men, basically. Okay, so I honestly don't know what this clip is from, but the caption says, Fremen at the slightest notion of jihad. And it is like three old man white actors in wetsuits, basically. And they're saying, gentlemen, the time has come. It looks like they're still suits, clearly.
That's the three guys from Top Gear. Jeremy Clarkson, James May. Exactly. Never seen that episode. It's a British BBC published TV show. They're not in it.
My son-in-law's way into it.
They're not into it. They're now on Amazon. They're a grand tour on Amazon now, the three of them, because they got fired off of the BBC Top Gear show. But basically, it's beyond hilarious. You don't have to be a car person to appreciate this show. It's
like they're just funny.
Yeah, the stuff that they do is quite humorous. But yes, they are three old white guys.
Well, they look very much like Fremen.
I mean, if they were 10 years younger, they would have started a podcast instead of a TV show.
I'm not sure the mediums have the same level of reach.
Let us jihad. right. Trevor, you have a meme.
Sorry. Now
we've gone from dank dune memes to just dank memes.
Just memes generally. Audibly. Yeah, this is an advertisement for a hop. You should find this image. Whoever photoshopped this did an amazing job. It says that it's made with 100% existential dread. And then it's filled with the sounds of 1,000 collapsing stars and a suffocating groan. It also has an overwhelming, it's overwhelmingly stuffed with visions of the abyss, the size of the universe, the length of time, and the edge of reality. And it shows a Hot Pocket with a bunch of tentacles coming out. It is amazing.
Hot Pockets!
So, music.
It's cool.
I think the initial inspiration of it
was probably the endless void that Trevor described.
is kind of like some Hellraiser box-like looking thing.
Yeah, nice.
It's not a pentagram because it's a triangle, but like evil looking
Kind of like
circle, that looks circle like with
you,
a triangle.
That looks acrylic like the bases that you had.
Yeah, those will be the focus tokens. We have another effect one here that's kind of like some still with cool glow effects behind.
And they do good work there at the museum.
Should be shipping along on the launch date of the faction in July.
With those paints.
Some of the individual paints are sold out because Games Workshop sold out of them.
Yeah, because they...
But, yeah.
But have you got the primer?
There are individual... Yeah.
Okay.
The primers restocked today.
It feels like the primer... Tell me if I'm wrong on this or not, Jay. This is just from some of the reviews that I ended up reading or talking with you a little bit about it. But it feels like the primer is a necessary part of the product.
I don't know that I would say necessary. One of the interesting graphics was it was basically a base that had a lot of movement on it.
Was that graphic different primers?
And it was different primers.
Oh.
And then it showed how it looked with different primers.
Yeah, no,
I don't think any of the primers...
I think one of them was a contrast.
One of them was the Games Workshop primer?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, then maybe I'll just buy a pot and let her... I just want to have one of my... Minions guys painted. We'll see how I like it. I mean, it's me, so like, will I like it? Yes. Is it food? Double yes.
Speaking of which, are you currently fasting drops
so
or non-fasting drops?
I just ended one because I just ended one that I started Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
So in the past 30 days, I have only eaten food in 13 of those days.
Okay. It feels like...
It's kind of working.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in terms of like,
did
in
you
terms
plateau?
Of weight loss.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm down today.
Your face is looking
26
thinner.
Pounds from 2 months ago. So.
I'm up 20 pounds from 9 months ago.
Well, I'm not a cyborg like you. Part man, part machine.
That's true.
Describe. So I don't know. Yeah, I did feel like I plateaued a little bit. And I don't really, I'm not really willing to call my weight today.
Right.
My weight,
because right.
after I eat through the weekend,
right.
you know, I'll,
You'll be, at
I'll
20
be back
or whatever.
Up at something. Yeah, right. So, but yes, the madness continues because, again,
I like to think that,
it's just so easy.
I like to think that fasting Josh is basically Josh on spice. You're ready to
do,
fold
do
the universe.
Do my eyes look bluer? Is that what you're saying? There are some effects.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just leave it at that for right now. But I wouldn't not recommend.
Okay.
I'll pass, thanks.
It helps that I broke it with smoked ribs today, though.
Oh, that's
my
nice.
Foreman, every Thursday, they smoke something. Yeah. So I'm like, this is a pretty good time to end my fast.
So for Discount Games Inc., there's lots of exciting stuff. One of them is we now have the cards for Infernals in War Room. And so you can feel confident to go ahead and get your pre-orders in for the Infernal stuff. One of the common questions I get is if you group everything in one order, if stuff ships individually, and orders wait to ship until everything in the order is in stock. And so if you're wanting to get things as they release, and you'd want to break that up into multiple shipments. And for Games Workshop news, next week they are launching... or maybe it's relaunching Apocalypse for 40K. And
I don't know what that
it's,
is.
It's relaunching. But basically...
It's really high point value.
Like, so you have 40K, and then Kill Team is lower point value,
yeah,
40K,
yeah,
and right. Apocalypse is like, oh my god, this game is going to go forever, 40K.
Honestly, I can't even remember what
is
we call
it. Is it the same size models and stuff?
Yeah, it's 40K.
It's,
so it's not like Epic, right? It's not...
No,
correct,
no, no. The models are... It is... What was the name of it in Warhammer, or War Machine? I can't remember what we called it, where you play multiple casters.
Where
you play
like a 200-point game or whatever?
Unbound, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Unbound for...
Okay.
It's the same thing. It came before Unbound, honestly, but the original version of it. But yeah, it's just... It's a big table with a shit ton of models.
And they have some... There's rules, there's movement trays, and then there's also... army boxes, basically, that are going to be somewhat limited, that if you're wanting those, then check those out on Saturday. So let's go ahead and talk about Lock and Load. So maybe we can talk a little bit about what my travel experiences and attending Lock and Load was like, and then we can talk about some of the previewed stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
We can give you fan reactions to
Excellent.
The previewed stuff.
So... We arrived on Thursday, got picked up by my friend Bradley, and he drove us around some. Thank you, Bradley. And then we went to dinner with Hungerford and...
At P.F. Chang's?
So we initially initially Hungerford's like, oh, we got to go to Dim Tai Fung. And Brian was like, that will make me ill. And he's like, what about P.F. Chang's? And Hungerford's like, no. And so we went back and forth. Some.
Treason by Hungerford.
I know, right?
First he calls us out on audio memes.
So then he ends up, he suggests this fish house. And which Brian can eat fish, and so we went there. It was fine. I had a delightful pasta, but I also have kind of an iron gut, and which so does Aaron Well. But Aaron Well and Brian both got sick after eating
like,
there.
But yours is like naturally iron gut. His has been trained over a lifetime.
That's true.
They both got sick after it.
Yeah.
That's not a great recommend.
No.
What was the name of the fish house?
I don't remember.
Was it, I mean, did William, so was this like just full on treason? Did he basically try to poison you guys for all the years that you've taken him to P.F. Chang's? Or was this legitimately a good restaurant that he wanted to try?
It is, well, why not both? And he's been there in the past.
Okay.
And he likes it. But
I'll allow it.
I won't say that it wasn't an ulterior motive.
Fair.
Then got up bright and early on Friday morning and watched the keynote. Mm-hmm. We can talk some about that at the end when we're talking about
stage.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good plan.
So then I did some games with Infernals.
Were you just in the Iron Arena doing that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My first game was.
And you were just playing Amadamos, right,
Jay? Yeah, I only had Amadamos.
That's what you had, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the. It's escaping me. Anyways, my second game was versus Peter, and neither of you two probably frequent the Facebook groups enough to realize this, but there's been...
I do.
Multi-hundred...
I saw this post, I think, that you're about to talk
like
about.
Hundreds of posts on each of these.
Like, what is going on?
Of, like, basically players calling out Privateer Press for, like, inconsistent application of rules or whatever,
okay.
Adjustments.
Yeah.
And so I played Peter... And he played Locke, and I ended up winning that game. And he didn't... The part of Locke's feat that triggers off of, like, being forced or spending focus on Warjacks, etc., doesn't work on Essence and Horrors. And so Peter's like, hey, why don't we fix this? And it's the post that spawned 1,000 replies. So
brutal.
It was kind of funny that game was kind of a impetus on
the
that.
Seed of our destruction, basically.
Yes.
And how do you feel about it?
The application of rules or the inconsistency?
I find it funny.
I think the best argument, in my opinion, with it is that I think there is validity where people say, well, there's tons of feats or spells or whatever that don't have application, but
they were
counter,
designed though,
the counter way. Reply that. Peter has is that, well, yeah, Sorcerer 1 sucks in the Covenant of Menoth or whatever, but you can pick to play out of 20 other casters. And
right.
Convergence and Crucible Guard have a small staple of casters.
I mean, part of my issue with it is it feels like she was originally intended to cover, that her feat was supposed to work against everybody, even though it doesn't even do that, because a list that doesn't have a lot of Jacks or Beasts in it, still, her feat doesn't do a lot. But it feels like all of a sudden now she's got this whole faction where it just doesn't really work well against, whereas before that was never really the case. And the examples of, well, there's spells or feats that were that only work against, you know, Hordes or War Machine or whatever. When those were put into place, they were designed that way. They were designed to only work against half of the game. Hers wasn't designed to work against...
You know that they didn't...
Because it worked against 100% of the game prior to this.
But now it means that it only works against... It doesn't work against, what is it, 1/25th?
I can say that I feel confident that... That this isn't an oversight
okay.
by the designers.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying it's an oversight. I'm saying it's a poor choice.
And you can feel that way. That's fine. But
okay. I mean, it doesn't necessarily bother me per se, but I do feel like she was intended to have a feat against whoever she's played against.
And I guess how are you able to discern this from the mind of Jason Souls?
I can't.
Okay.
How are you knowing that it isn't intended to be changed?
Because
you
I
can't.
Asked.
You asked Souls?
I asked Hungerford, and they said that the design team reviewed everything and that the stuff that has been updated is updated, and they made decisions with these. They spent a lot of time on it.
And they've never been wrong before.
And he did say that it could be adjusted in the future.
Okay.
But this is where things are now.
Sure.
So
I think that it's a mistake to leave her like that.
I don't have a strong opinion. I do think that the best argument is that she's part of two limited factions.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it very difficult to decide, I'm going to play, as Crucible Guard or Convergence, I'm going to use Locke as my second list, with the idea that, oh crap, there's the new hot thing that everyone's going to be wanting playing over the next 6 months is going to be reasonably common. And it's and she's has a tough time into it. That's going to make it difficult for me to want to play her over the next 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the next, I guess it's going to be farther than 6 months. It's going to be more like 12 months.
Sure. That's what the rotation's going to be?
Well, it's going to take a little bit for people to get models.
It's going
to
take, it's going to take time for them to get models, and then they're going to take time for them to ramp up. And I mean, everything sort of, there'll be a 9 month delay after release. Sure. So, and then people will either get tired or move on, and then it'll sort of slack off. But if it hits big, like Grimkin could, you might see a lot of it. If it doesn't, it'll slack off sort of like what Crucible Guard has.
Block is the lady with the arms.
Yeah.
On the back,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what's her feet? Tell me.
The woman with the strongest back in the world.
That's right.
So her feet is multi-part, and the one part is could still work. She has purification, essentially. She,
well, the counter argument with it is that, so the second part is if you cast spells, you also get a token, and okay. The token adds plus one defense and armor.
Okay.
And you can get up to three on them, and then you take off one a turn. You also get them by spending focus or being forced, whatever.
Yeah, spending focus or being forced.
So the counter argument is that she's actually still fine into Infernals because Infernals cast a lot of spells.
Oh.
My cultists, when they heal or put essence on a beast, that is a spell.
Oh. And wait, this is a counter argument?
Okay. Are they going to, how? What's the range on that stuff? Are they even going to be in her control area?
It's a 3-inch range onto the target beast. Okay.
But how?
I can tell you that certainly, I mean, my current list has 14 cultists, and they're wanting to do shit every turn.
Is everything they do a spell? Everything important that they do a spell?
So this game that you played against Peter, he was playing Lock?
Yes.
And did he get some tokens from his feet?
Oh, no.
Oh, but is that because you were, like, the devil? I guess my point is, like, were you just able to kind counterplay of what, him well enough?
He moved kind of the flow of what happened with the battle. He moved the Vulcan up. I was able to, with the Infernal Gate doing a placement and with me feeding, I was able to get two heavies onto him, and I had synergy up. And
so, just so I'm clear, you murdered the Vulcan in this game.
So the Vulcan died.
I don't see any problem with this list or caster or however the Infernals have been designed.
And so my beasts were pretty far in.
Okay.
And then they ended up getting killed, but then I was far enough ahead that it
didn't matter.
I thought he was playing her in cock. I didn't realize
that. No, yeah, he was playing.
So when
he's playing Crucible Guard.
Yeah, he's playing Crucible Guard because he was prepping for the Iron Gauntlet and wanted Crucible Guard to play into Iona.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's fine. It's good.
Okay. Is it good because of the stupid Vulcan?
I mean,
putting down miasma of death.
Purification and miasma, both those things do a lot, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So how big a deal is the purification part of her feet, though? That's the second part. The second part is that she purifies off upkeeps.
It's a spell. So it's a spell level effect.
I understand, but it can be quite powerful when you're not spending anything for it and you need it at the right time.
I mean, versus Amadamos, it makes me, at the start of my turn, spend two essence instead of one.
Okay. Because, you have to
recast
them.
Yes.
Okay. Synergy.
Instead of upkeep it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So,
double.
Is that kind of cross? I haven't looked at their spells that closely. Do they all, I kind of only have one or two key upkeeps?
I'm not too sure. And then my last game with Amadamos, I played versus Kruger 2, and my opponent, he went forward, I went forward. He shot a heavy off the table, and then my Desolator moved up and sprayed onto Megalith, the Wold Warden, and Sentry Stone, and I charged my caster in and lived the Flashing Blade Dream.
Nice.
And managed to kill Megalith and the Wold Warden and Sentry Stone, and was still camping, I think, two essence. And one of my heavies killed another one of the Wold Wardens. So basically at that point, he just had an assassination to go off of, which ended up not working. He has fairly good defensive stats, 14, 18. I had two transfers. I also had two Umbral Guardians to pop out and take shots. So was a fun game, though.
That's cool. Trevor, briefly, I'm reporting that Zadaroth has four upkeeps.
Okay.
And Agathon has two.
Which Zadaroth is potentially
the one that would be hurt by
one that you would see commonly into shooting lists.
Which will Locke always be a shooting list?
No.
Oh.
Can be, but
usually the most common builds right now have a Vulcan, a Suppressor, and a couple Tauros, and a Liberator. So, Friday night, we went down to Pike's and walked Pike's some, and then went to dinner at Dahlia Lounge. On Saturday, I did one of my some of my Infernals games, and then did a commentary on the Iron Gauntlet. And
how many games did you do commentary on?
Ended up doing three. I did one on Saturday, and I did it with Doug Hamilton. Funny thing about this game is that it was Kallus 1 versus Charles Song playing Ashlyn. And when I was doing the commentary, I made a big deal about my commentary talking about clock management and where they were on their clock and stuff like that. And it got down to where one of them clocked out when the other one had like 8 seconds on his clock.
Holy cow. Okay.
And there were things where I was talking on the, like, for example, at one point, Charles was up quite a bit on time. And so I was like, okay, what I would do is just be conservative with my caster, move her away, camp, and win on time. And he, like, went all in. He's, like, having Ashlyn kill the Blightbringer and doing all this stuff.
All kinds of things, yeah.
Right. And I was like, wow, this is kind of weird. I'm surprised Charles is doing this. Well, it turns out that neither of the players could really see the clock.
Why not?
Because the clock they were using just wasn't, the timing on it wasn't really that visible.
Wasn't bright enough.
Right. So.
Savage.
I think on later games they started using like a dual clock system, one that was going to be going on to the cast, and then one where the players could actually see it.
Huh.
So then after that, we had picked up, this was on Saturday night, we had picked up some like dried fruit, cheese, meats, finest meats and cheeses from Pike's and took them to with us back. And on Saturday night, we played Secret Hitler with a group of people. And
have you ever played Secret Voldemort?
I have not.
There's a reskin of that. It's Harry Potter. Seems rad. That game is awesome. Either way.
It is a fun game. And then Saturday, we went to P.F. Chang's for dinner and invited Hungerford with us, and he told us to fuck off.
Wow. Wow. Unreal.
Actually, what happened is he's like, yo, dog, I'm tired. Fuck off. Then Sunday, I did the commentary with Hungerford on the semifinals and the championship game for the Iron Gauntlet. And you'll be so proud of this, Josh.
I'm always proud, Jay.
So for my two episodes with Hungerford, I read him Dank Doom memes on each broadcast. And on the second one, Tony cut the cameras to us so that it was showing me reading it to him.
And his face.
And I still read it without like turning it to show the meme to the people watching. So
your commitment is truly unbounded, Jay. Wow.
But it was a lot of fun. There were some really good games. It was an interesting watch, and it was fun to commentate on those.
Very cool.
So are you guys ready to
react?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Okay, so let's talk about the keynote. I'm assuming we're not going to say a whole ton about Monster Apocalypse, because none of the three of us...
Because we're not done. None of us care.
I mean, yeah, you told me, but I don't know the stuff.
Yeah, there's
some new factions, right, and some new models.
I'm not even sure that's...
There are new models.
Okay. Boom. Nailed it on the new models thing.
I wouldn't know. I had the volume turned down while that was going on, doing regular work until it was done.
Next was Riot Quest. Talk some more about that. Did you guys have any... What's your guys' current level of excitement on Riot Quest?
I mean, I'm honestly super excited for the models that are coming at Riot Quest.
Uh-huh.
I have mixed emotions about Helga too.
Okay, why?
Because she abandoned her classical Valkyrie, getup for a biker lady.
For a modern Valkyrie getup.
Is that modern Valkyrie? Is a modern Valkyrie biker?
Sure, lady? Why not?
It's fair. Okay. I'll take that answer. I didn't see the motorbike though. Did you say
that? I don't think so.
They
didn't show the art. But that she'll probably be a cavalry model. Like, do you think she'll be a battle engine caster or
no, I don't think it's gonna be a battle engine.
But she'll be like a cav caster.
Probably. Okay. Well, she'll probably be on a large base. I'm not going to say that if she has cavalry rules.
Yeah, it seems unlikely that cavalry rules.
Really? Because minions don't have cavalry already?
No, because most... I don't know. It's possible, I guess. But the reposition is the part that seems like it wouldn't fit necessarily. But I have no clue. Anyway.
It's supposed to be a meat thresher motorcycle.
Oh, I'm way more excited. Like it would be like a mini meat thresher kind
yes.
of thing? Oh,
yes.
That's cool. Yes. All right. I'm more on board. I also saw a giant I want to say like toad looking dude that was a Riot Quest model.
And I have several a list of several things that they talked about, and so a lot of these weren't even in the keynote, but we'll talk about them.
Maybe
there's
I
various
saw
seminars
it.
And stuff.
Okay, maybe I saw it first.
Anyway. But I would think for you, Josh, that if you look at the target market,
because it's faster game.
No, I'm saying like they're like one of the two of the things I like about it. One is that, so for example, last night I finished game night fairly early. And it wasn't enough time to do another War Machine game, but could have done a 20-30 minute game. And so something like that could be interesting. But also, I think they're kind of hoping that it's something that, for example, you could play with your son and kind of get him the hook set on him being interested in miniatures games.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it works for that, I will be interested. Like,
here's my issue, because my son loves miniature style board games.
Right?
He loves board games and anything that has miniatures in it. I think it sort of interests him or excites him. But I'm going to be frank for a moment. Privateer Press does not have a good track record on board games. Period. End of story.
Is Riot Quest a board game?
It is. In my mind, it is.
Okay.
And especially when I started to hear them talk about the target audience, the play style, what it did, all I heard was Bodger games, Bodger games, Bodger games. And I thought, this is not anything that I want to even touch with a 10-foot pole. My excitement level is negative.
Okay. I'll say, I am excited for it. And
you didn't get to play it at all, did you?
No.
Hungerford was doing Devils like all lock and load long, right?
Or the dev team, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And part of why I'm excited is, well, I'm just an excitable guy, I guess, but
and I'm not. So you have to throw that in there that even though I may actually have some excitement, I will never admit it.
Sure. So as an example, one of my friends who has been like hungering and thirsting after Infernals was when the September release schedule came out, was super pissed off that there was basically one Infernals release and the rest was Riot Quest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he had basically the same concern as you did, that he's like, this is just going to be another crappy game that they're investing resources in, and they should just be focused on
their core. Machine.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm going to be skeptical until they come through with a board game or a non-War Machine game that is actually good. Because
I do think Monster Apocalypse is good.
Okay.
It seems I
have
to
not
have
played
a lot more buzz than it did. Although even originally, even the old Monster Apocalypse was pretty well loved, I felt like.
I played enough of it to hate it.
Of the original Monster Apocalypse?
Yes.
Not the new version though, right?
I've never played the new version. I had no desire to play the new version because the first version had some what I felt like were some core design concept issues. And you know, I very well could be wrong, but I didn't enjoy the first one all that much. It was okay. I played it some, but at the end, it just felt like there was some certain things you needed to do to win. And if you didn't do those things, you pretty much lost. And there wasn't an alternate path to victory, which I feel like in some games, you need to have that option. And anyway, I've played a lot of Privateer Press board games over the years, and there are none that excite me.
Well, coming full circle, this friend went to Lock and Load. He saw the game demoed, and he's now done like a complete 180 on it, and is excited for it. So, I mean, that decision is going to be up to everyone, obviously. I have talked to a lot of people who did watch it, play it, / play it, who were impressed with it.
Sure, and there are other games. This is I'm going to throw this caveat in here because I'm going to be negative Nancy today, I guess. But when you demo a game, the demoer can make it seem more fun than it is with their attitude and also with the things that they present you. So you're being presented with a very
limited scope
of what you're going to see years back. And I was pretty excited about the game after the demo. And then I played it on my own and I'm like, wow, okay, I can see how they polished this turd for the demo, but it really is a turd. So, you know, I will try it. I will play it. I'm not going to buy it unless that's the only way I can get those models because I'm like everyone else. I want the models for War Machine.
And they're only coming out as Riot Quest models, and then they'll be able to play in both games.
Right. So you're saying you can't buy them solo?
Well, a lot of the so they're going to have the starter box that it has like four models, and so like
if one of the models I want is in the starter box, the only way I'm going to get it is by the starter box.
Yes.
Well, I won't be doing that unless there's something in there that I can't live without.
Okay. And the rest of them, I think, are just going to be in individual blisters. And
man, yeah. I will. talking about being target demographic. If there's a Minions model in the starter box, I will buy it.
See, I need a shelving unit in my basement where all my board games are. Like, so I need someone to come in and just install some shelves for me because I don't have time, so that I can put my board games on the shelves.
IKEA has some great shelves.
Because every time my son goes, I want to play that game, and he points at the bottom game that's in the tote on the very bottom, and I have to drag everything out of there, I curse the possibility of buying another board game.
Mm. Well,
basically, I will go in there, he'll say, I want that game on the bottom, I will grab it out for him, and then I walk straight to my computer, and I basically cancel every Kickstarter I back that is currently available. It's to the point where I'm like, I don't want to have to put any more board games in this club. So
they previewed Mini Crate for Robert E. Howard, which I think is great. I'm not the target demographic, but
I don't even know what that means.
I hope they make tons of money off of it.
Who is the target demographic?
I mean, Robert E. Howard's Conan stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no game. It's they're supposed to be, I guess, for modelers then, but they're not busts. Big, they're not right? Big. They're not. I don't feel like they're highly detailed. Like, I don't know that there is a target demographic.
I don't know.
The target demographic is the fanboy. You could literally package shit in a box and be like, here, buy this. And they'd be like, yeah. Sorry. Well, I'm getting way harsh here. I just don't see the point.
I thought you were just quoting Tommy Boy. But
well, every chance I get, Josh.
So we'll talk about Riot Quest models that are going to be War Machine models quite a bit later.
So does that mean not all Riot Quest models will be War Machine models?
All Riot Quests are also War Machine models.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they did Mon Pok, they did Riot Quest, they talked about their new Mini Crate, then they started talking about Infernals.
Okay.
And talked about the big changes it was bringing. They didn't talk about this here, but I think it was in a seminar or something, but one of the things that I think was interesting was that the Old Witch's plan of releasing the Grimkin and harvesting the Wicked Souls that were you know, going to be feeding the Infernals or whatever, it was actually working, and it was working almost too well, because the Infernals were like, if we don't invade right now,
if we don't knock down this door right now, there won't be anything for us to eat.
We're not going to be able to do it. And so they did their invasion early.
Okay.
And they're not as strong as they expected, and that's kind of the only hope that humanity has.
Nice. Good job, Old Witch.
Good job, Old Witch. Good on you.
Yes.
So, little Lore Master Larson
corner. Yes, yes.
Outtake there.
Where was our theme music on that one, Josh?
He's gonna cut it in right here. Nice.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do that. And then they talked about Infernals, and then it ended with them showing the logo of the Convergence of Cirrus. And at the end, I was like, so does this mean that they're going to be the next faction? I went into this expecting...
Like another Convergence of Cirrus faction?
Yeah, what's going on with that? And they didn't really say.
Yeah.
Does that mean Cirrus gets all of the angel people? Or I forget.
As a viewer, I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I thought they were just telling fluff stuff, like, oh, Convergence is going to come save the day in the fluff.
Did they say that, or they just showed the logo?
They just showed the logo. They made no connection for the viewer as to what it actually meant. So we were all left to make our own.
Here's what it means, Josh.
Is this another Lore Master?
This is a release, product release announcement.
Oh, that you would think they would have been better at, like, saying, Cock Round 2, March 2020.
Is that really what it means?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, why wouldn't you say that? I don't understand.
So does that mean, like, significantly more Warcasters and models from Cock?
They're going to do the set of Oblivion releases.
Okay.
That's kind of an anthology box that everyone's getting stuff. And then the next wave of releases after that is going to be a set of Convergence releases.
That fluff-wise, battling the Infernal.
Right. Supposedly, Convergence is going to be instrumental in the fight against Infernals.
Okay.
But they're going to be the next set of releases after Oblivion, which I'm guessing a lot of people were unaware of.
Yeah, I'm completely unaware.
Like I told Trevor that in chat, and he's like, what are you talking about?
I mean, how was I supposed to know? Sometimes...
And it was kind of like that last year.
You didn't find it out till later, right?
Like, right.
Just saying, the logo didn't mean anything to you, right?
Correct.
Like, okay.
But there were things related to the release of Crucible Guard that we watched the keynote and then got like follow-up information and answers, questions answered and stuff like that.
But did you have to go find those answers?
Devs after?
I feel
can
like
I ask a question Are there five digits that would have made that logo work? If it had a squared above the logo and then said 2020 under the logo.
That would have been better marketing than what we got. Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know if that... I would love to have somebody on the show who's in marketing, who's a War Machine Hordes player.
Right.
Somebody just come on and we could discuss the failings of the marketing stuff that they put out.
It was kind of interesting.
Because this is not the first time I went, what the hell are you thinking?
Yeah.
I went to... I think it might have been last year, but I went to dinner with Monty Kroll and Hungerford.
Mm-hmm.
And like Monty... like tried giving some advice on like, you know, this is how Blizzard tries to market stuff. And it was interesting hearing his perspective on
marketing. On how a company markets to gamers.
Right.
Successful.
I believe I was at that conversation because I remember it. And it seems like a lot of the things that Monty said, I felt like, I'm like, yeah. Like,
yes, do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm the minority, not the majority, but I was completely lost, and finding out, it was, 5 days later? That, hey, that meant more cock on the horizon just totally blew me away. I had no clue.
It wasn't even on your radar.
Yeah, no idea. And nobody had been talking about it.
Right.
There's no buzz on any of the groups about it. So I was shocked.
And I assume there's also, like, almost no information in terms of, like, what that means.
We don't know if that means, like, new
warcasters or troops.
That was one of the things that Monty said. He says, when we announce something, Jeff Kaplan gets up and basically says, here's some of the things you can expect. And he doesn't go into great detail, but he gives them enough so that they're excited about
and
it.
And one of the things
I mean,
was
don't like different drug dealers know this? Like, you just give the first taste.
Last year at Lock and Load during the keynote, they had images of a bunch of preview models that were going to be coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have that this year too much, except for there were some Monster POC preview ones. There were some Riot Quest preview stuff. But it seemed like most of the preview models that they talked about in seminars stuff and stuff. As well. Yeah, it seemed like most of the seminars was talking about Riot Quest models that were coming out. So it's interesting. But to, I guess, give some accountability on the bold predictions that we gave last episode.
Dang, what did I say?
I said that we were going to have skyships.
I went in with Zoo and because we were going to have of Zoo. That totem model, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What happened to the skyships?
You're not even talking about our best prediction.
Which was our best?
What, Iona?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
He said, the next week we'll talk about whichever Iona was this one, Iron Gauntlet.
So, no skyships, no new faction.
Oh. Was that also what that cock logo meant?
No, that's what... So, then they... After the cock logo, they started another...
Presentation. Okay.
On Warcaster 5K.
Qua?
Have you...
I've seen it.
Okay.
I'm just playing along. Along for that.
Your method acting was too convincing, Josh.
That's not really what it's called, though.
It's called Warcaster...
Mechanica?
Neo-Mechanica.
Neo-Mechanica, that's right.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Since it has a Neo in it, I'm on board.
I'm going to call it 5K.
That's
Let's go play some 5K, Josh.
And we're calling it 5K because it's
5,000
years
after the Infernal
after
Apocalypse.
After the Infernal Invasion, or did the Infernals invade for a while before this apocalypse happened?
No, this is so far, the apocalypse doesn't have anything to do with this. This is 5,000 years in the
what?
Future.
What? It's 5,000 years from the Infernal Invasion.
I mean, there's something that's involved that makes, but think about, 5,000 years ago, yes, whatever. Okay, let's go back and say, okay, the Magna Carta was signed, yes, that's why we have America today. That's about probably the same amount of, you know,
of so distance. This is they've traveled to a far corner of the galaxy and
wait, corners. The Iron Kingdoms have traveled to the far corner of the galaxy?
Corners.
Yes, it is.
Spread out among the stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like people from Imran who have...
So when I responded Rask in space, multiple A's there, I wasn't that wrong?
I mean, you're wrong because he's dead 4,900
years. How dare you? Surely it unlocked years ago. Immortality. But whatever, it's his like great 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 grand minnows, right?
Grand minnows. Yes, it is them.
Well, except probably not. But
what?
Like,
listen, Hungerford.
It'll be interesting.
I need grand minnows, so I'm not going all in on this.
It will
this,
be though. Interesting to see what races are present.
I mean,
we don't know.
I would be happy if it was like
we know there
a
are
fishbowl in Neo Mechanica. You know, rig
like
filled with Rask minnows.
Mysterio Rask.
Sure.
We know there are no...
I'm a simple man.
We know there are no space elves.
Why do we know
Yay!
That?
Yay!
Wait, so does that mean that, like, Rhett got eliminated in the Inferno?
I hope so.
apocalypse.
I'm,
do we know if there are space Ruuliks?
There fucking better not be squats.
Are there space dwarves?
There better be.
What do we? What do we know? What are there? Space what?
We know very little. Truth.
Probably humans?
How many of the races will I be able to...
We don't know, Josh.
Will I be able to draw a line directly to Twilight Imperium races to fill some glee?
Yeah, none of those.
Ah, so I'm not going to be able to like use Twilight Imperium, or I'm not going to be able to use Neo Mechanica, or what? Sorry, what's it called? Warcaster 5K minis in my Twilight Imperium.
No, I don't think so.
You said three things and none of them are correct there, just FYI.
So things that we do know.
Yes.
We know that it is going to be a game that is played with around 15 to 20 models.
Okay, so smaller than a War Machine game.
Yes.
Okay.
We know that your...
But bigger than a Riot Quest game.
Your Warcaster...
To be fair, they also told us 15 to 20 models originally for War Machine 2.
Did they?
Yeah, like 15 years ago or whatever, that was kind of their thing.
Okay. I mean, I guess at a 35-point game...
Just depends on...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, okay, your Warcaster, what?
Your Warcaster and your Warjack
will be a fishbowl filled with
minions. Are both customizable.
Like, I could make them have fishbowls.
I'm assuming it means, well, potentially.
It probably means that they're like 40k war gear.
Look.
You're kind of picking what?
You're picking
weapons.
Weapons and things at point costs each. For I'm going to add a multi-melta for 5 points.
I'm willing to be satisfied with this plan if it either hits my Raskin Space tickle. Or, and you could do both. I'm just putting this out here for you. Because you could have Dune level, you could have Dune Navigators Guild models, and you would be scratching my Dank Dune meme and Raskin Space itch at the same time. Because they're basically space fish.
Okay. So what you're asking for is space fish.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, you can sum it up. I want space fish.
I want space fish.
Okay.
Which faction does that align with in Twilight Imperium?
Is it Space Fish of the Universities?
No, I don't think so.
You know?
No.
Well, their art has the most fishbowl-y thing on it.
Not in 4th edition.
I mean, I guess the... what are the turtles? Zakcha, something like that? Yeah.
I said your words.
They're kind of space fishy, right?
Yeah.
I get that they're
more, mammals. More space
or,
fishy.
No, they're reptiles. What are turtles? Reptiles, right?
They're reptiles.
Sorry, Bill Nye.
So, Trevor, you said, I think on Facebook...
Everywhere that I could.
That you are all in.
I'm all in on 5K.
Warcaster 5K?
Yes. All in.
Is that because...
Do tell.
Is it the... Is Warhammer the equivalent to... No, I'm sorry. Is War Machine the equivalent to Warhammer Fantasy?
Yes.
And Warcaster 5K is going to be the equivalent to 40K?
Here's the problem.
In your mind, I'm saying.
That's not a very good correlation, but sure.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, in my mind, I'm going to... I don't like steampunk.
Right.
I don't think that it's particularly interesting, although it has grown on me over the years.
Yeah, it's got a fungal effect. I get it.
Well... Part of the thing is my interest in World War One has increased,
mm-hmm.
and in our own history, steampunkiest thing we've ever gotten to is World War One.
Isn't World War One more diesel punk? That would be fair.
Is it? I mean, they had horses pulling that shit around.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't really that much diesel engines because it was you're still being
invented.
Yeah, you're too far behind at that point. There was a lot of really cool things that came out of World War One as far as aesthetics.
Yeah, aesthetics. Right.
Don't put words in my mouth. I'm not celebrating
chemical warfare.
I'm not celebrating chemical warfare or the fact that it directly became World War II.
Right, yeah.
I'm not celebrating any of that. I'm just saying that the aesthetic wise, there's some neat stuff. If you look in pictures, some really cool things.
But okay, and that's why steampunk has kind of grown on you.
A little bit. Okay. That correlation has grown on me, yes. Okay. That's why I like Crucible Guard quite a bit, because it's as close as I can get to probably
that aesthetic. Right. Okay.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about some models that were previewed, some various tidbits, etc.
What? No, we're still in 5K. I want to talk about the rest of the hour.
Okay.
The 30 seconds we have left.
Okay. Go.
You didn't finish telling us why are you excited about it.
I'm excited about it because I like sci-fi. Okay. If you hand me two books, one of them is a fantasy book, one of them is a sci-fi book, I'm going to eschew the fantasy book. I'm going to read the sci-fi book, and it's always been like that my whole life. So
I like both genres of novels, but I probably like fantasy better.
Same.
That's interesting. I'm
with Jay.
So are neither of you excited about 5K?
No, I'm excited. Yeah.
Let me throw this. If you were to go upstairs and right now you had to buy into Warhammer, would you buy into Warhammer Fantasy or Warhammer 40K?
Fantasy.
But it would be a very narrow thing.
Here's the better question to ask me.
Age of Sigmar is the better game right now.
If there was a Kill Team Fantasy Team 40K, which one would I buy into?
I'd buy into
Kill Team Fantasy.
I think the 40K sci-fi models look awful.
Do you?
A lot of them.
Oh, yeah. I love sci-fi. So.
Well, I like sci-fi.
I'm not
just
I,
their.
I wasn't talking about
like
their
sculpts, aesthetic.
Some of their sculpts.
You're tired of the skulls?
No, that's fine too. Like the new stuff. The new stuff, like their Chaos Space Marines. Those look great. But maybe it's just their older sculpts or something, but some of their older stuff just looks fucking awful.
I was not trying to make a rules implication. I was more talking about like the aesthetic. And obviously I'm more fantasy or more sci-fi oriented than you two are, because to me, it wouldn't even be a question. If like I walked upstairs.
Oh, really?
I mean, there are factions in 40K that I'm like, I'm not too hot on that.
Sure.
But overall, I would absolutely pick a sci-fi game over a fantasy And I've always wanted a sci-fi game out of War Machine. I wanted that. You could have translated the rules directly and just made a different game with the exact same rules, and I would have played the fantasy version over this, the sci-fi version over the fantasy version.
How close do you think this will be to that?
I don't. I think they're going to probably try to make some changes. I think some of the core rules will probably be the same. I would be shocked if like the base stat plus 2d6 changed.
Okay, and like boosting will probably still exist.
I would be shocked if it didn't. I think that's probably those are pretty core
mechanics.
I think
we'll have 2d6 plus boosting
and feats.
I'm not sure about that.
That might go
instead
away.
Of spells, there'll be attack.
Don't know.
Okay,
I wouldn't even care.
Okay,
the aesthetics is enough. If you keep that core mechanic, the 2d6 plus potential of risk,
I believe
versus reward,
no magic as well.
What?
Yeah,
that's fine.
So like. Okay, I will be excited for the Lore Master Fluff Corner, Lore Master J Fluff Corner on what happened there.
Yeah,
I think that the deal with the Orgoth sort of thing, they're probably basically expending it
to get rid of the
to
Infernals,
sever the ties with the Infernals.
And so then they have to discover all this tech and travel the stars.
That's kind of what they said in the video.
Cue the Enterprise theme.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
I prefer you won't take this guy.
That's fair. Join us for the Bojo, where we rip on each other's sci-fi tastes.
We should make that happen, actually.
I would get so much hate mail.
I don't know. You put some of those opinions out there, haven't you?
Yeah, but like when I... like.
I could spend 20 minutes just ripping on Player of Games. That book is awful.
Oh, I would need an hour.
To rip on it? Are you on my camp in this? You hate that book as well?
I am on your camp. I did not enjoy it as much.
It was so good.
I did not enjoy it as much as Jay.
Eventually it's supposed to get good. Jay told me this book was good. It's going to get good. I know it any time now.
Well, I guess next episode we will talk about Themapalooza.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Slash Themapocalypse. And then we have a whole list of models that we can
chat about,
talk about, sweet. And some various changes as well. So,
okay.
Shocking we didn't get through it all in one episode, but here we
not
are.
For lack of effort.
Yeah, how could we ever follow a tangent? I don't understand what has happened.
Josh.
Jay.
Do you happen to have a dad joke?
Do you know what happens when you eat aluminum?
I thought it was aluminium, sir.
Oh, sorry.
It depends on which continent you're on.
Oh.
You sheet metal.
That was amazing. I'm leaving straight from here. I'm going home. Tell it to my kids before I go back to work. My wife will not appreciate it. Which makes it all the better.
Trevor, do you have something for us?
No.
Okay.
Nothing that can beat that, for sure.
Well, next week we'll close out talking about the exciting stuff coming up in War Machine and Privateer Press that we learned about at Lock and Load. So on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.